My co-host today, Kevin Landrum, who, if you don't know, he's told this many times, including the Fort Hood story that Bob was really happy you got to see up close.
Wasn't even a story. I was just there.
I was there.
But you have told, or at least mentioned multiple times, that you at one point were in the Army.
I was.
Right?
I was trying to remember the exact date because it was many years ago that I was in basic training. I'll always know where I was when Michael Jackson died. Because I was at basic training, and like when you're at basic training, you don't get any outside news outside of like letters from home or whatever. And but the drill sergeants, we were out one day, and they were just like, "By the way, Michael Jackson died."
That rocked the barracks.
Not really, but it was like it was shocking, first of all, but then also, okay, this is something that there is life out there right now.
What did y'all say when he told y'all Farrah Fawcett died the same day?
He also told us that too. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I don't really tell military stories. I was not in that long.
Which, by the way, on behalf of all of us, thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Although, look at who they accept.
Courage.
Is all I'm saying. Yeah. So, at basic training, I always think about, especially on like a Memorial Day or a Veterans Day, Drill Sergeant Harris. This man will stay in my memory for as long as I live. All right, so at basic training, you're sharing basically your barracks with, you're in a platoon, and there's three other platoons that make up your little unit, right? Well, our platoon was led by Drill Sergeant Kionis and then Drill Sergeant Harris. And Drill Sergeant Harris adopted this almost like mythological presence, all right? Picture if Wesley Snipes played Major Payne.
Interesting. Okay? Okay.
Now, he's also, in reality, he was probably 6'6", but when you don't have any control over your life, you're told where to go, what to eat, when to eat, at all. He appeared to be 10 feet tall, right? And anyway, he started to get this aura around him with our platoon because none of us ever saw him eat. None of us ever saw him drink water, Ham. Nobody ever saw him laugh.
I could serve.
When we would do exercises in the morning, when we would be on runs, you know, you do chants, you know, you chant together.
I don't know.
Yeah. He would never lead them. We would run 2 miles. He wouldn't even be sweating, right? He was this mythological person. And so the way it works when you're at your platoon, you're going to go to the chow hall. Well, our platoon barracks are right here, and then half a mile across a field is the chow hall.
Okay.
So before you go anywhere, do anything, you always assemble with your platoon, line up, then march to where you're going. And then when you get to chow, you stand in line at what's called parade rest, or your hands behind your back, you're just waiting there. In the chow line, you can't talk to anybody, you can't turn your head, you just have to wait till your turn.
Once you get your bowl of lobster bisque?
I will say there was rice at every single meal. Plain old white rice.
Yeah.
I love white rice.
With eggs?
Oh, ow.
Yeah. So anyway, you get your food, you sit down.
Sesame seed?
With your buddies.
No.
The way it works, you sit down, you'd eat with your buddies, put your tray away, then you'd go back outside the chow hall and line up, and then you'd have to wait for everyone else to get done while you're standing in line. Well, this one particular day, Drill Sergeant Harris marches to the chow hall, and it's getting really cloudy outside. And this is in, I don't think I mentioned where, I went to base training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Okay.
In the Army, they call it Relaxin' Jackson. It's supposed to be one of the easier basic training places, but I don't know about that crap. That was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
So imagine if you had actually gone to like a difficult
Fort
Benning
one. Or something, yeah. It
would have been your hell week.
Right. We march down to the chow hall. It's really cloudy, and it starts to rain while we're in there, but it's just like lightly sprinkling. So I get done eating. I go outside and I stand outside in formation waiting for everyone else to get done while it's starting to rain. And then it just full on downpour, right? It is a deluge to the point where like in the course of a minute, there were already puddles forming. It is a full on
turf floater.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm in parade rest outside in formation. No one's told me to go anywhere, and I certainly cannot just leave. without being told where to go.
To go get your umbrella?
Right, to go get my umbrella out of my, my footlocker. So all of us who are standing in line just getting down, we're just looking at each other like, what do we do? Right?
Yeah.
Drill Sergeant Kionis busts out of there. And he goes, what the hell are you privates doing? Get back to the barracks, right? So we all just take off sprinting back to the barracks. Where the barracks were, they're covered, so we would form up under there. So we sprint back to the barracks. It's about a half a mile through this absolute downpour. We get back there. We all form up, and we wait for the drill sergeants to come back. So Drill Sergeant Kionis, our other drill sergeant, he gets in his truck and drives around and meets us at the barracks. But we're standing there, and we're waiting in this downpour. And out across the way, like the half mile away, in the middle of the rain, he's got his drill sergeant hat on, Drill Sergeant Harris. And he's just slowly walking. And he had this like stride about him, like he was perfectly fluid, but fluid if like a robot was doing it.
So everything about him sounds robotic.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's just like slowly walking towards us, and he's not even getting wet. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Like, he's unfazed by all of it.
Right. We're like, dude, this guy is an absolute legend. Like,
yeah.
It was wild. Eventually, towards the last week, we finally got a little bit of, like, character out of him. You know, like, he would lead some of the marching songs or whatever,
yeah.
But he's just, he was just this mythical person.
Hey, stop!
But when he's walking the half mile through the rain without a care in the world, that's when the rest of us were like, this guy's a god.
He's the coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
So at least y'all were able to see a little bit that he was human.
He was human a little bit.
Playing charades with y'all. And
it's like, I swear.
Two words.
Movie.
So I guess some other quick little things here. I did almost get shot, I think.
What?
In basic training?
All right, so I got to tell this story.
At Fort Hood?
I got to tell this story. The first time that you actually start training with weapons, you have all these bays and, you know, downrange, and it's you and another person who's your spotter, and then you two will flip off and like that.
Mm-hmm. Take that.
But you're laying in prone position, and you're firing downrange. Well, there's three levels to when you start shooting. One is you're loaded, the gun's not cocked, and the safety's on. Then you're loaded, the gun's not cocked, the gun's cocked, the safety's on. Then the safety's off, and you're ready to fire. Well, it's kind of a windy day, and a couple of bays to my left, this one girl, I'll never forget her either, private fan.
Oh, girls in the platoon, huh?
Yes there were.
Lady hey now.
Okay. I do have a theory about that, so maybe I'll get to that in a second. One second. Well, Drill Sergeant, not Drill Sergeant, Private Fan's target downrange fell over. And we have just been given permission to, like, we're about to flip the safety off. And she doesn't know what to do. And so she puts her weapon down and she gets up and she takes off downrange. There are 100 rifles pointed that direction. And we're like, what is she? And then the drill sergeant started yelling at her, but she didn't know what to do. She was, like, caught in between. When a drill sergeant addresses you, you go to parade rest because you're they're addressing you.
But you're also in the line of fire.
But she's also, she like didn't know, she was like in between, and then she ran and picked up the target, and I'm like, what the hell are you thinking? But anyway, I say I almost got shot because there's another fire drill.
Were you private fan?
I'll get it for you.
There's another fire drill called reflexive fire, where you stand up with your weapon like this, and the target's on your left, and then when they call out, you turn and fire that way, and then come back down to the starting position. So we're all in a line for that. She was the one directly behind me.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I was concerned for my safety. But yeah.
So your almost shot was you thought at any point she's going to let this weapon go free and blast you in the back?
I did.
Would you?
Would I have?
Settle down, guys.
What do you mean? What do you have what?
Like to have served with her.
Mm. Yes, would have liked to have served with her. She did graduate with me at the exact same time.
Okay.
Which was odd. Okay, but back to your thing about your question, having women at the barracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we had you had a women's barracks and a men's barracks, but we were all part of the same unit. So, yeah.
Nice.
But I do think the Army or the military takes steps to avoid some of the co-mingling, I would guess.
Uggos.
I mentioned earlier that we had rice at every single meal.
Mm-hmm.
A number of us were convinced that they were putting stuff in the rice that would keep you from getting excited.
Boy, I bet Conspiracy Lando enjoyed
this rice is making me infertile.
Okay, them, yeah, neutering you okay. with your rice.
First of all, when you get there, even before you go to your unit, like, you get 25 different shots, and I have no idea what I was given. Absolutely no idea.
Probably a pre-COVID booster.
It was a pre-COVID booster.
He's alive, so.
I never got COVID, so, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, you get a ton of shots to the point where after maybe 3 days, a lot of us were looking around like, hey, have you gone to the bathroom since you've been here? No, I haven't. Oh, okay. What about you? Have you gone to the bathroom? No, I haven't either. It took like 4 days before anyone went number two.
Huh.
It's EA's nightmare.
I was about to say, dump EA needs to get that when he drives. Yeah. Oh, he's got a dump center open.
Finally. But, so you think they were clogging you up?
Well, I think it's a reaction to all the shots we were given.
Oh, I see. That's like a side effect of your...
My conspiracy with the rice cocktail. Is that kills getting excited while you're there. So
are you less horny now?
Boy, I hope I hope our military isn't giving you guys boner-killing rice.
I would I'm push back on that my next blue because, you know, rice is big in the Middle East and the Asian cultures, and there's over like 3 billion people on that side of the planet, so they're still banging, and they're eating rice.
Okay.
Use a better word.
So aggressive.
Well, I think what he's saying is they had to dial it back. Like
right.
The rice that's making all those people, the people you just mentioned,
horny.
Bang like jackrabbits. They had to dial it down to a one, or else you guys would have just been fooling around all day. You and your you and your buds.
Yeah. You and Faye.
You and, yeah.
Private Faye.
Faye. You and your CO, Mr. Major Payne.
Yeah. Wonder what happened to that guy.
You never looked him up on Facebook or LinkedIn?
I don't think that he exists in that space.
Probably not.
You know?
Still taken aback by... You saying he's a combination of Wesley Snipes and Major Payne? Like, what's their differentiator?
Two different people.
Well, they are, but what's the difference? I mean, Major Payne's already a...
Wesley Snipes is more of an intimidating-looking dude than Damon Wayans.
Okay. Okay.
But, yeah. But also, I was trying to paint the picture without blatantly saying...
He's a black guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Black.
What did he say whenever you told him you wanted to be a Green Beret? Did he encourage you?
So after you're done with your secondary training, which I was a truck driver, so I went from Fort Jackson to Fort Leonard Wood, they give you the option to go into like airborne training. And they're like, yeah, you'd leave right now. And I'm like, there's no freaking, I want to go home. I've been here for like 4 months.
Well, some people don't have homes to go back to.
I'm pretty sure my pot plant's not getting watered.
Yeah, is that how you got kicked out?
Okay. Well, after I finished my secondary training, you know, you get the graduation ceremony. My parents were out there. Then I flew home.
They boo AI.
My brother booed me. I was hanging out with some friends doing the same things I used to always do, which is smoke a lot of pot. So I go over to a buddy's house, knowing full well that I'm going to report to my unit for the first time that weekend. And I did it anyway. Failed a drug test immediately. Then they said, well, we're going to make you go to NA and you're not going to be allowed to get a promotion for a while. I said, okay, that's fine. They were still paying for my college. Then I, a couple of months later, got another drug test. I don't know why they didn't drug test me more, to be honest.
Weed.
I got another one and failed for a different thing. And they said, well, we are not going to pay for your college, and you can stay the rank that you are, which we talked about earlier, basically unranked.
Yeah.
Or you can take an honorable discharge. So I said, bye-bye.
Which one allows me to keep smoking?
Sayonara, yeah. Sammy.
I'll go be the ketamine king outside of the military.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, thank you for...
Again, yeah. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You ever thought about re-enlisting?
Yeah.
I can now, actually.
Yeah.
They changed the age limit.
Now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been taken away?
Yeah, now that that's gone.
I'd like to see Lando in the Hormuz situation. He'd do well.
We'll put up. I've said this many times, like for myself, like if a draft is ever reinstated, Lando, you're a great guy. Mm-hmm. If you're ever like our last ditch effort to defend anything, we're probably effed.
Wow,
you're a great guy,
Lando or me.
You're saying saying I wouldn't be a good battle buddy. You're saying I wouldn't be there to help in a fight.
I just don't know, like, you going around, like, you're going to need to wear shoes. Like, your little hobbit feet, you're going to get jungle foot immediately.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem when we're fighting Charlie.
Well, I did keep my army boots for a long, long time. So maybe I'll dig those out of the closet.
Would you wear your fatigues around and try to get discounts?
I still have those as well.
TCBY.
I don't fit into my army, ACUs is what they're called. I don't fit into ACUs anymore.
Dang it.
But I still have them.
All right, well, maybe one day just bring him out.
Okay.
Well, now show up for a ticker shift.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, it's 8:35 here on The Ticket. One more point of clarification, Lando.
Yes.
You said that your CO was a black guy, right?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hear from Lando's CO next on The Ticket.
No!